Today's verse is verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The repeated word there, obviously, is the word always. That's a pretty high standard to live up to, isn't it? In fact, it's impossible. So do we ignore this verse? Of course not. Don't you wish sometimes that you could just push a delete key on some of the verses in the Bible and make them easier to deal with? Now, I read it to us in the NIV. It's different in most other translations. In the English Standard Version, in the American Standard Version, in the New King James Version, and others, the word always is not there. Instead, it reads like this: love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So which is it? Is it all things or always? The answer is yes. It could be translated both ways. However, if you're going to look at the way the words are used throughout the Bible, then I would not choose the NIV version. I would choose a different one. And the version I would choose is the CHC version. C. Harry Causey version. In that version, it would read as follows: love always bears all things. Love always believes all things. Always hopes all things. Always endures all things. Now the standard just got higher, didn't it? It got more challenging. Four things God said that we are to always do if we love somebody the way God wants us to love somebody: protect, trust, hope, persevere. And let's look at each one of them. Love always protects all things. In other translations, it says love bears all things. The original Greek word translated here means to cover something over in order to protect it, and it's the same word that's used to describe the roof over our heads, protecting us from the elements. Now remember that everything in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 comes back to our relationships with one another, and how we deal with one another in marriage and in life and in work and in play, and especially those special relationships that we have with our loved ones. So this says that if you love someone the right way, you will always protect them. Protect them from what? Danger? Are they in danger? No, not necessarily. Here's the idea behind what Paul was saying. He said, if you love someone, you will protect their reputation. You will not air their dirty laundry in public. Don't you just cringe when a husband criticizes his wife in front of other people? Don't you just cringe when a wife belittles her husband in front of other people? That's not protecting the reputation of the person that you're supposed to love the most. Now, no one has a perfect record in this life. We all have secret flaws. But when you love someone, you will not uncover those secret flaws to other people. You will protect them. You will keep them covered from view, from ears, from the eyes of other people. But it goes further than that. It goes beyond just other people. It also applies to your private relationships with your significant others. If you are constantly bringing up flaws to your loved one's face, then you're not bearing all things. You're not keeping a lid on it. You're not protecting them with a covering. Does that mean you never mention it? Of course not. But there is a degree of mentioning it. And there's also a motive involved with mentioning it. And sometimes that exposes more about us than it does about other people. Have you ever seen the TV documentaries about gorillas and chimpanzees grooming one another? Do you know what they're doing? They're picking out the eggs of lice in the fur. Do you know what the word is for the egg of a louse? It's nit. That's the origin of the word nitpicking. So Elizabeth, the next time that I nitpick you, you may tell me that I'm acting like an ape, and you will be right. Paul would tell me I'm not loving the way I ought to love if I engage in that. Perhaps Paul should have put it in the Bible more clearly. Perhaps he said, love does not nitpick. Love does not nitpick. Love bears all things. He put it in the positive. Love bears all things. Now, I'll bet there's not one of us in this room who can say that we are totally successful in this. No matter what kind of relationships you may be talking about, we are all incompetent failures. So let's read on and see what the next area of incompetence and failure is in our lives. Love always trusts all things. Or in other translation, it says, love believes all things. When you love God, you trust God. When you believe God, you believe His word. You believe His promises are true. Well, when you love someone else, you take them at their word. If they say, I'm sorry, trust that they mean it. If they say, I'll try, trust that they mean it. If you constantly communicate to them that you doubt what they're saying to you, you could create a person who is not trustworthy. You could be the villain. That's the attitude of you're guilty until proven innocent. But if you constantly communicate to your loved one, I trust you, I believe you, you can help create someone who is trustworthy. That's having the attitude of innocent until proven guilty. The challenge, is to not become a gullible wimp in the process. There are people who are highly skilled at telling you what they think you want to hear. And they will do that. Don't be one of those people. And don't be the victim of one of those people either. But exercise a spiritual discipline of building trust in the significant people in your life. That's Christian love, building trust. Love protects, love trusts, and now the third phrase, love always hopes. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of hope. That's why Paul said at the beginning of Romans chapter 5, he said, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is bathed in hope. And we walk in hope. Hallelujah. Love always hopes. Without hope, we have despair. Sometimes you and I face very difficult situations in life that are just overwhelming. We feel hopeless. We feel helpless. We can sometimes yield to despair. We want to find a silver lining in there somewhere, but somehow we just can't. We're full of despair. Well, perhaps Albert Einstein's parents felt that way, because Albert Einstein could not speak until he was 4 years old. He could not read until he was 7 years old. His parents thought he was hopeless. Did you know that Beethoven's music teacher told him, quote, "As a composer, you are hopeless," end quote. Did you know that Thomas Edison's teachers said that he was so stupid that he would never learn anything? And I love this one. A newspaper editor once fired Walt Disney and said that Disney had no good ideas. Nothing is hopeless with God. Whatever you're facing right now, whatever it is, it's not hopeless. Love always hopes. What if God had looked at you and me and he said, "I give up, it's hopeless, just look at them. No matter what I do, they continue to sin." What if he did that? But God, through his perfect love, looked at us in the future. He looked forward and he tilted the scales. He tilted the scales from despair to hope. Love looks forward. Love always hopes. Now, we're not talking about Pollyanna here. We're not talking about Pollyanna optimism. And we're certainly not talking about the philosophy of the power of positive thinking. We are talking about a love that refuses to take any failures as final. No failure is final. Have you failed? Have you failed as a parent? It ain't over till it's over. Have you failed as a husband? Have you failed as an employee? Nothing is final with God. We're talking about refusing to recognize realities and having faith moving forward. How can we do that? We can do that because we have a God who is in the business of taking human wimps and turning them into warriors, like Moses. Moses was a wimp, and God turned him into a leader, a triumphant leader, a spiritual giant. Okay, all you wimps out there, God can turn you into a spiritual giant. There's always hope. God can do that to your husband. I should pause longer and have you dwell on that thought. How big is God? He can change your husband. God can do that with your son. God can do that with your wife or your daughter or anyone he chooses. There is hope. Love always hopes in all things. Remember this, Jesus Christ descended into hell. We say that in the Apostles' Creed. We read it in the Bible. Jesus Christ descended into hell. That was a large part of his supreme sacrifice for us. That means that Jesus went deeper than it is possible for any of us to go. So no matter how deeply buried in hopelessness and problems you may feel, Jesus Christ can go deeper to hell itself for you. There is hope. Don't you dare give up. Don't give up, no matter what your circumstances. Love always hopes. Three, one to go. Love protects, trusts, hopes, and always perseveres. Or as it says in other translations, love endures all things. It's interesting that the Greek word that's translated perseveres and endures here is a military term. How many of you have been in the military? Okay. It's a military term. And it means hold your position at all costs. Stand firm. Stand your ground. Do not retreat. Have you lost the battle? Not yet. Don't stop fighting. Christian love holds fast to those whom we love. It never gives up. Reject it? Love them still. Hate it? Love them still. That makes me think about the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The writer of that chapter sounded like a great athletic coach. I wouldn't know, but that's what I understand great athletic coaches are like, because he was boosting the team spirit. And here are just some of the things that he said in that wonderful chapter. He says, since we have confidence through Jesus Christ, let us draw near to God, full of assurance. Are you full of assurance this morning? Do you want to be? God, fill me with your assurance. Let us not give up. Do not throw away your confidence. You need to persevere. What's the alternative? Pull back. Retreat? No, we're not going to do that. Love always perseveres in all things. Suppose you were about to make a trip to some place and you'd heard about this wonderful place. You wanted to see it, but you don't know where it is. Is it north? Is it south? How far is it? How are you going to get there? So what do? You pull out an old-fashioned GPS system called a map. And you open it up and you look at the map and your heart leaps for joy because you find your location you want to go to and it's on the map. And you stare at the map and you continue to stare at the map. And you keep looking at the map. You can look at it all day, but you're not going to get anywhere. In order to get there, you've got to make some effort. You've got to pay the cost. You've got to spend the time involved. You've got to get up and move. It's going to take some perseverance for you to arrive at that place where you want to go. Perseverance is not passive. Perseverance is active. It's also not easy. And that's why we need God's help. Brian Jeffrey Leach is a Christian poet, and he wrote this. In a time of trouble, in a time forlorn, there is a hiding place where hope is born. There is a hiding place, a strong protective space where God provides the grace to persevere. For nothing can remove us from the Father's love, though all may change, yet nothing changes here. In a time of sorrow, in a time of grief, there is a hiding place to give relief. In a time of danger, when our faith is proved, there is a hiding place where we are loved. There is a hiding place, a strong protective space where God provides the grace to persevere. For nothing can remove us from the Father's love. Though all may change, yet nothing changes here. In a time of weakness, in a time of fear, there is a hiding place where God is near. Hallelujah. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. That is God's formula for your marriage. That is God's formula for your parenting. That is God's formula for your grandparenting, for your work, for your friendships. That's God's formula for your life. And it leads me to this final thought. We can't do it. We can't do it. We simply can't do it. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to roll up in the fetal position and suck our thumbs and say it's hopeless? Should we cry out to God, God, this is too much. Don't ask me to do all this. Should we give up? Well, here's my answer. Yes. We should give up. We should surrender. But not to the evil one. We should surrender to the King of Kings. We should surrender to the one who said, I am the great I am. We should surrender to the one who said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. We should surrender to the only one who holds the keys. How much surrendering should we do? How about this? I surrender all. Always. Let's pray. Lord, please remind us again and again that you said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. You are El Shaddai. You are the Almighty One. So help us, Lord, to grow in the kind of love that you want us to express to one another. I ask you, Lord, to bless every marriage here, everyone. Bless every relationship in our lives, every one of them. May we bear witness to this world that you are the God who loved the world enough to pay the full price. Hallelujah. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.